Now what? When you have trusted God and given God your best, is there any more to come? Is there anything left to do? Those are good questions. I don't believe as Christians we fully arrive to the place where we can say, I got it. Paul says even after his life with God, he still had more to do. He says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Paul was a very gifted man. Abraham has proven to God. I wonder if you've passed that test. Really? Where you've proven that God, I love you. God, I have faith in you. God, you can have all of my life. Not just when I'm going through, but every day of my life belongs to you. You see, Abraham has proven to us, but more so, he's proven to God. Because the testimony in verse 12 is just that. God says, now I know. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Now I know we live for all kinds of reasons, but imagine God saying about you and I, now I know that there's nothing in your life that's off limits. What's the most precious thing to us? Our children, huh? And then our money. Sometimes our money, then our children. But at the end of the day, God wants to know, amen, what's more important, correct? Now watch. What would we expect? How does God respond to Abraham's act of faith? It's right here, right? He has proven his love to God, and he's saying, God, you're my everything. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is God your everything? I mean, your everything and nothing else. And the beautiful thing about the God that we serve, you need to know this, our God is personal. He's a personal God. He's a God that can be known. Amen. He makes himself known to his creation, right? And here's the other thing you need to know. There are many gods out here, but there's only one God in the Bible. Now, the Muslim may say that's their God is the same God, but the only problem they have is that they don't have a way to that God. Come on, help me somebody. And the only way to our God is through who? Jesus Christ. There's no way to get, you could say Allah, Buddha, whatever, but the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the point of this passage. Point of this passage is that God has already initiated something. This wasn't just a test to prove that, you know, well, yeah, well, okay, Abraham, yeah, okay, you followed me. But God still had to deal with Abraham's sin. Come on, help me somebody. The sacrifice here is about God saying, and it's a burnt sacrifice at that, God is saying, Abraham, you've walked by faith. You've done it all, but here's the thing you need to finish. You need to finish what you started. Come on, somebody. It's not just good just to be saved, y'all. Come on, help me. Listen, your salvation is how you and I learn how to really love God. And I wonder if you've passed the faith love test. Look at the text. The text says that then when it says here, and Abraham raised his eyes You know what I believe? What happens after we pass the faith test? I believe we get comfortable. I believe we get complacent sometimes. Not all of us, right? I even believe that sometimes we panic because of the uncertainty of what's next. Come on, help me. And I say this to you. I say that God has positioned Abraham, and it says Abraham raised his eyes and looked. Now, he could have been rejoicing over the fact that my son didn't die. Come on, help me. So the first thing I want to give you today about what's next is this. Keep your eyes fixed on the finish line of faith. Don't ever take your eyes off the finish line. You know why? Because it ain't over until God says it's over. Listen, some of us may not know, but this just may be the beginning of something amazing in your life. But when you arrive to that place of faith and you have conquered those things that you did not conquer before, but you did it by faith, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the finish line, because guess what? After graduation comes life. Come on, help me, somebody. Yep, that's what happens. It's called life. And you're going to need God. We're going to need God as we go. Now, what he wanted was a sacrifice. That's what God wanted. But God knew that the way I can get him there, I got to get him there by faith. So here he is. The text says he raised his eyes. He looked and can I tell you this? Look what it says. And behold. Like, wait a minute. Behold. Now, I imagine this ram. I wouldn't want to be this ram, boy. This ram. Look, and behold, people always say God always has a ram in the bush. But do you know what you're really saying? You're really saying that God got a ram in the bush. He finna sacrifice. Do you really want to be the lamb, a ram in the bush? Probably not. But look, the text says, behold, behind him a ram caught in the what? In the thicket. Now, you got to understand the symbolisms here. All right. Number one, a ram was good for the sacrifice. That's meeting the requirement that God has. But here's the other thing you need to know about this ram. The ram by nature, amen, usually they always get caught up between a rock and a hard place. I wish I had somebody. You know how somebody say, oh, you got bad luck, stuff always going wrong for you? It ain't luck, it's in your nature. You just do stuff like that. You know what I mean? You tie one shoe and leave the other shoe untied. You know, you close one door, but you leave the other door. Creatures of habit. And sometimes our habit will get us caught up. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm going to say it one more time. Sometimes our habits will cause us to get what? Hung up or caught up. And so the other symbolism that we find with the ram here, you ready? You better write this down. It's called divine intervention. God has divinely intervened. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Aren't you glad that he intervened in your situation? Anybody here? It also means God's devotion in divine intervention. God will provide what he needs. He just wanted to see, was you willing to let go of what you have so that you can see his power? Do I have anybody? And so not only must you keep your eyes fixed on the finish line of faith, but the next thing you have to do is keep believing by faith. Listen. I don't know if Abraham knew what God was up to, but I thank God that he kept on believing by faith. There are times when we are struggling in life and we can't understand what's going on, but God says, don't get caught up in wondering what I'm doing. Just understand that if you walk by faith and if you trust me, I will divinely intervene in your situation. Anybody here need a divine intervention right now? There are some things in your life that you're saying, man, God, I need you right now. And listen, and I want to say to somebody here today, you got to know that faith is how you attract God. Faith is how you continue to walk with him, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. I find it very interesting that this ram who got caught up, the Bible says in the thicket. Now, the text goes on to say that, and Abraham, there it is, went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. Now, you got to know that the burnt offering has to do with sin. Every burnt offering would take away sins. Watch this. I'm going to say it one more time. Every burnt offering would take away your sins, but it would only take away your sins temporarily. So what God is doing with Abraham at this point, he's saying, listen, I'm going to provide for myself the requirement that I need. Don't think that just because you've had one spiritual victory that things, watch this, that your sins are just gone away. He says you have to go all the way. But here's the thing, not only must you keep believing by faith, but the next thing you have to do is keep obeying by faith. And if he says 1 John 1:9 that you should confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, then you obey God by faith. Some of us, listen, I want to tell you, sometimes it's hard when God, whatever God is asking us to do, it seems hard. But listen, if you obey him by faith, faith means I'm not going to try to figure it out. God wanted the sacrifice like he wanted Jesus to be the sacrifice. I'm getting there. But he took our place. And I thank God that the ram took the place of Isaac. Isaac was supposed to be laying on that altar. But thanks be to God that he always has someone to take. He had someone to take the place. And that someone, amen, was Jesus Christ. I thank him today that when you keep believing by faith and you keep obeying by faith, the results are God is pleased with us. God says, I know, Abraham, that you love me. I know that you're not going to hold back nothing from me. I know that your life is totally committed to me. Can I ask you a question? What is the evidence of your life that you are totally 100, 200% sold out to him? You see, God does care about his people. And God does care, and he wants you and I to know, watch this, I care about what you think, but do you care about what I think? Do you care about how I feel? Because I want you to know that when I gave my son to you on this earth, he came to finish what we started back in Genesis 22. He came to rectify sin forever. And I want to say to somebody here today, I know that, listen, somebody else will not take your place. But God says, I got someone who's willing to take your place. But I thank God that if in this life, if you keep obeying, if you keep believing, I'm talking about in the Christian life, and if you keep your eyes fixed on the finish line of faith, what will happen next is this. It says, he offered him for a burnt offering in place of his son. Now, if that does, I know it's early, and I know it's early, but here's a shout point for you right quick. You ready? The next thing you got to do, the last thing you got to do, you ready? Keep on rejoicing by faith. And the reason why I want you to rejoice by faith, Because the thing is, the substitution is the reason for rejoicing. I'm going to say it one more time. Substitution is the reason for rejoicing. You say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because, listen, I don't know one thing. I wouldn't die for nobody else in this room. Do I have anybody? I would not be humiliated for nobody in this room. I mean, maybe. But I'm saying that to take what Jesus took, it's called substitution. And the reason I can rejoice, because I understand that substitution brings something in my life. It brings a permanent relationship with the God of the universe. Jesus, God brings his promised son into death to go through it. Just like God spared Isaac, God spared humanity because he takes the cross on himself. God is saying that he put the ram in the place of the son. He put Jesus in the place of you and I. Aren't you glad this morning? Anybody here want to rejoice with me? Don't try to make it up now. Anybody here really understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about rejoicing the fact that we will not go to hell. Rejoicing that, guess what? When we leave this earth, absent from the body, it's to be present with the Lord. And I'm so glad that it was grace. It was only by grace that God will translate us to the next life. I'm glad this morning. I'm glad that Jesus took my place. Anybody here want to rejoice with me this morning and say, thank you, Lord, that you took my place. Thank you, Jesus, that you had a ram in the bush, and that ram was Jesus. I'm glad this morning that Abraham understood that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory. I say to you today, keep on rejoicing, keep on obeying, keep on believing. It ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't done until God says it's done. The devil may try to do you in, tell your neighbor, now I know what's next. Now I know what's next. What's next is I'm gonna keep on believing, I'm gonna keep on rejoicing, and I'm gonna keep on obeying. Why? Because I'm gonna see this thing to the end. Anybody here want to see it all the way to the end? You ain't tired yet. The devil may try to hold you back, but you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, he may cause you to feel afraid. You may have a little fear in your heart, but fear not, my child. Know this, that God has already done what he says he's going to do. And when I look at this passage, I think to myself, we have a God who can divinely intervene. He stepped in right on time, right when I was ready to give up, right when I was ready to throw in the towel, right when life seemed like it was over for me, God stepped in right on time. Do I have anybody here that knows he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll show up right on time. Thank God for his divine intervention. He's that kind of God. Mary's baby, born in a manger, didn't have no room for him. I thank God that he was born in humility. He was raised in royalty. They thought they had him, but they didn't have no lock on Jesus. He says, I laid my life down. You didn't take my life. I gave my life as a ransom. And now you and I can go to him and we can ask him, Father, help me through my trouble. Help me through my trials. When stuff looked bad, Jesus will be there. Hallelujah. To his holy name. Hallelujah. 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 He's a good God. Abraham didn't know that God had a ram in the bush all the time. See, when he looked up, he was looking to the finish line. Come on, y'all. By faith. But before he was looking at what he was looking at his son to sacrifice his son, that was the focal point. But if he would have just looked up, he probably wouldn't have went through. Oh, come on, help me somebody. But God divinely guides. And when Jesus came to this earth, he wasn't known. For 33 years he lived in obscurity. The last 3 years is when Jesus went public. Did y'all know that? The last 3 years. But he was raised like all of us. And he had to exercise the same faith that you and I have to exercise. If you're going to go all the way to prove I love you, and here's how much I love you. Your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not you just coming to church. It's you committed to a life of instruction, correction. Come on. Amen. Under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and then God takes your life and he begins to transform it. He begins to transform your life. Why does he begin to transform your life? Because, watch this, because he says this one thing. You believe me by faith, and the transforming power in your life comes by your obedience. I don't know about you, but when he asked the question of me, did you really love me? And the proof to that is that I'm willing to give you everything. Is that you today? Are you willing to give him everything? I'm talking about your whole life. Not when it's convenient. God is asking.